This podcast is powered by Men's Tee Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tee Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tee Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin. You got Eric Chiafalo. You got Jacob Ray. And of course, Carter Freeman is here with us. And he might just make some appearances. You never know.
I like that idea.
But I'm supposed to ask him first, not just give out his time, which unfortunately I have done earlier this week. All right, gentlemen, we got a lot going on the show today. At 11 o'clock, we'll have Mike Curtis from the Dallas Morning News. At 10:20, the great Wada Chicken Strips eating contest, which I'm going to try to convince Nick Angstadt from Locked On Mavs to stick around and have an actual segment while this is going on. And if Jacob can be victorious, we'll force Eric back to the board for at least some amount of time, and Jacob will take over his spot. So a lot going on today. It is also Shout Out Friday, 877-881-1053. If you want to shout out somebody in your life for something amazing that they have done or they're trying to do, we will also have the Cooper Flagg press conference going at about noon o'clock. So packed show today.
Heck yeah, dude. I'm ready to pack some chicken tendies into my body.
What's your over-under before we get into some sports?
I feel decent about the 13.5. I hope to just completely blow that out of the water. Honestly.
Okay.
I'll feel good if I hit 15. I just don't want to set expectations too high. Jakey, I don't know how you're feeling. I don't know what you've done to prep your body, but I am ready, bro. I am starving for some Wada Chicken Strips.
So I haven't had anything in my stomach since about 8 o'clock last night. So I went away with the midnight snack. You know,
so this is like doctor appointment preparation.
Yeah. Like a blood draw appointment. So
or something else.
Yeah. Sure. You know, I'm kind of hoping. I think I'm if I can get to double digits, I'm going to consider it a win. But hopefully Nick can throw enough questions to Eric to slow him down and I can catch up. So.
And then also Peyton is going to be participating. So, and then you never know. Somebody else could just pop up and try to be part of this competition. So we got a whole lot of stuff going on. And right now, Nick Angstadt from Locked On Mavs is going to pop in with us. Did we prepare headphones? Probably not. We should have. Our bad on that. But I want to have a conversation to kick things off. Forget the hype. How does Cooper Flagg, the basketball player, actually fit on this team? Because I think a lot of people have gotten caught up with the hype of, oh, he'll never be this. He can't be Kawhi. He can't be Pippen. Blah, 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 blah. Like, time will tell on that. But Nick, welcome to the program. How are you?
Gentlemen, it's a good day. It's a good day in Dallas, Texas.
Are you excited because you get to go to a press conference after this?
You know, any Nico Harrison press conference, you just never know what's going to happen, right? And I'm just glad to be a part of this one because there have been some in the past that
not all of us
got to go to. No, the secret meeting, I was not involved. I was not one of the voices, I guess.
Do you think he should have said fortune favors the bold in the secret meeting in hopes that maybe it didn't go out instead of saying it to everybody?
I don't think he should have said that at all.
Sure.
What's the point of saying that? The bold part only could mean the Luka Doncic trade.
Yeah.
And so to bring that back, like to bring it front of mind after, I think a lot of us just, all right, can we move on at least from the organization standpoint to not keep pushing back to that? It felt like the fortune favors the bold comment was meant to say, listen, y'all are going to eventually see my side of this and eventually move on with me, right? Like eventually you'll see it. Like we were bold and we benefited from it. And I did not get that quote at all. And it seems like Nico sometimes doesn't understand what the media is for, like who he's talking to when he
you'd think he would have gotten that message back in February in the aftermath, but he's like, but I kind of like, I oddly respect, he's like a cartoonish supervillain in terms of they really believe what they're saying, and that's what makes them, you know, so much more believable. Is like, I don't think he's doing a bit. He's telling you we're going to be better off. And so I think that's why he's not backing down. He's like, that would be false. I'm right. You'll see. Just give it some more time.
That's why he's a general manager and we're not. You got to stick to your convictions. You have to like go in and know exactly what you want to do. And you do have to be bold. I will give him that. You've got to make bold moves. You've got to make decisions that aren't going to be popular. The Porzingis move was not very popular at all. And then that ended up working out for him. The Brunson move was not great, that they didn't give him more money or offer him more on the way out, and then he ends up getting Kyrie Irving. So, like, some of these, to his credit, some of those things have worked out, and now this is the era where we get to see if it does, and he kind of got bailed out with this.
Now,
you got to be bold and extremely lucky, I would say.
For sure.
For sure.
1.8%.
Yeah. That's if you believe that or arrange a prepackaged deal. That's right. I've fallen into conspiracy theory territory. I put on my tinfoil hat. I'm a believer. I also believe in the frozen envelope with Patrick Ewing. And look, there's other conspiracy theories I believe in.
You know who is part of both of those lotteries?
Yeah, they're with the Mavs now.
The CEO, Rick Wells.
Exactly. just too many coincidences for that. All right. So let's put the hype aside for a minute. And I want to talk about the basketball player, Cooper Flagg, because I think some people, there's already been some pushback against him, even though Cooper Flagg is not the one going out there and telling everybody, I'm going to save your franchise. But like, so there's been a little pushback against him, and eventually maybe he could be Kawhi. That'd be awesome. But what does he do and how does he fit in this team? Because he's got a ton of versatility.
It's a simple answer. Does everything well, fits anywhere.
Yeah.
It's like he is the easiest player, I think, even more so than Wemby, like the easiest player to build around that we've seen come out of the draft in a long time. You could literally play any other five players with him and you could make it work in some kind of way. He just does so many things well. Elite defender, can defend out in space, is really good as a rim protector, can handle the ball. He had 300 possessions where he was the ball handler in the pick and roll. Opportunity. He can roll as well. Like, he can set the screen and roll as well. He can. The big question coming out of high school for him was, can he shoot the three well? And he shot 38% from three at Duke. And everybody was like, well, he's the number one pick for sure. There's no question. That's why it wasn't a debate with him and Dylan Harper or anybody or Ace Bailey or anybody else out of that first year, because they just said, man, he's fixed all of his issues. And now he can go show what he's going to do at the next level, which is anything almost.
By the way, on the three-point shooting thing, I decided to go just a little bit further and check that out because I was like, I know he shot better as the season went along.
He did.
If you go to February and those 11 games that went through the end of the regular season, 47.4% from three. In the NCAA tournament, 50% from three. So like,
he was scorched.
Yeah, you could see the improvements even as the season went along.
Yeah, that's something that I loved about him, and I'm excited to just watch throughout the rookie year. Is day one, game one to game 82 of Cooper Flagg probably going to look considerably different? So how do you envision like the starting five, and how much, you mentioned him initiating offense with Duke, how much is he going to have to do with that until Kyrie comes back at least?
Well, going back to Nico Harrison, if he's to be believed, right? Like,
sure.
They want to do a by committee offense to start, like kind of what the Rockets did last year a little bit, where just everybody can kind of initiate offense in their own way. You've got Cooper Flagg can do it. Obviously, Anthony Davis can do it. Derek Lively in his own way, if he's setting a screen and rolling and then you give him the ball in the short roll, he's really good out of that action. And so they are going to try to do this like offense by committee a little bit. I think Cooper Flagg is going to get the ball in his hands a decent amount, because you start to look through all the players they have and he's maybe one of their best decision makers with the ball already.
Mm-hmm. You think ball in his hand past midcourt though, as opposed to, I think some people are envisioning him like bringing the ball up the court, and I don't love that as much as past midcourt. Let him do his thing.
Well, the thing is, they're not going to be playing the Pacers defense that picks up full court every single game.
That's
right?
Probably
like
true.
Regular
yeah.
season, it chills out so much more. You can get away with a lot more. The difference between even like November basketball and March, April, and then even going into the playoffs, like those three different kinds of basketball are so different. Mm-hmm. That I think they can get away with it. If they were a team that was like, we want to win a title, we intend to win a title, this is our only chance to win a title, then I'd be really concerned about them going into this season without another ball handler type. It's hoping that Kyrie comes back January, February is what they've said, and be ready to go to handle as much as he would have to handle. They would need to add somebody else. It sounds like they're going to get another guard in, with this, in free agency. But Nico was very clear that he was like, we don't need somebody to come run our offense, just somebody to get us organized. And I was like, okay, he really believes that the rest of these guys are going to be able to do initiate enough offense to make it work.
And I think we've been led to believe that perhaps their choice will be D'Angelo Russell. What are your thoughts on if you think that will be the person, if it could be obviously floated out Chris Paul, any number of other people? What do you think about that?
Yeah, in Mark Stein we trust, right? Like he's been right about so many things.
Yes, I trust him more than Nico, that's for sure.
Trust him more than I trust myself. He has said that
Mark Stein on the horn.
The Mavs are the lead. I'll tell him that. They're the leading suitor for D'Angelo Russell. Usually that language means that they're pretty far down the road in terms of an agreement between the two. And so bringing in a D'Angelo Russell, like that brings some shooting. He's got good chemistry with Anthony Davis already. He played with Jared Dudley, assistant coach for the Mavs, which is kind of funny. And he's made his teams better in a lot of ways. We were talking about it on Locked On Mavs last night, that his on-off numbers have been better in the last couple of stints that he's had. And so it is a little bit like, all right, you're you're kind of addressing the issue, but not really, because he's not the best offensive initiator, not the best decision maker. The defense has always been a big issue for him. But, I mean, if defense is going to be your issue as a guard, playing in front of Anthony Davis, Derek Lively, and Cooper Flagg is not the worst position that you could be in.
That's a great point. Now, the NBA obviously knows what they're doing first in setting up this lottery pick, but also that Cooper Flagg will theoretically debut in the Vegas Summer League against Bronny James and the Lakers. Come on. Like,
so you really believe the conspiracy? You're like all the way down the road.
100%. And you know why? Because I had a co-host in Mike Bassick who told me that he was like, well, what if this happens? And I was like, that's never going to happen. And he goes, well, what if it does? And I was like, you know what, Mike? For a franchise that has never even moved up one pick in the history of the draft lottery, let alone rocketed all the way to number 10. One, I'll believe. Like the night of the draft lottery, I was stoked because then I thought maybe Trey Johnson was the way to go when they moved into the top four. And I was like, well, obviously we're not going to get the number one pick, and then just kept going and going and going. And of course, I freaked out. But I think I kind of am in that camp, even though it defies all.
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or menstclinic.com.
Logic. I'm sure we all have some sports conspiracy theories we believe in, but I also like the setup of, hey, Cooper Flagg against Bronny. We'll get you to watch this summer league game.
Let's do it. Maybe Luka Doncic on the sidelines, like watching the game. You always have those, like, the current players that are watching.
For sure. And right now, there's nothing that the NBA, with all due respect to the Oklahoma City Thunder, there's nothing that the NBA would like more than a Western Conference Finals with the Mavs and the Lakers, right?
You respect the Thunder?
No, I'm sorry. I guess I should.
You said all due respect.
Yeah.
I mean, all of it.
I do.
They're a great team.
All right. What did you guys think about the Raptors? They made a move this morning that I'm sure raised some eyebrows, at least around here.
Yeah, Masai Ujiri has been talked about as one of the best, you know, team put together or people that have been out there, whether you're a GM or a president of basketball operations. The team the last couple of years has been strange, though. Like, you look at the team on paper, and it's like, there's a lot of fours. Like, it kind of looks like the Mavs, where you go, there's just a lot of fours on that team, and I don't really know where they're going with it. Are they trying to rebuild? They have Scotty Barnes, then they bring in Brandon Ingram, and you're like, what is going on? The real thing about Masai Ujiri, though, is that there's a new owner that went from like a 20-something percent of the ownership stake to like 70%, and that owner hates Masai Ujiri. And so it was just the politics of,
wow,
he didn't like that guy and decided that he wanted to make his own decision. It's like new owner syndrome where you come in and you got to make your own moves and bring in your own guy.
What do we think about him as a personnel leader and whatnot?
I don't know. We'll see. It's one of those, like, he's been all these minority owners, you never know what they're sitting talking to everybody about. And
I mean, Ujiri, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he built the 2019 Raptors team. That was a really good team. Even the teams before that, DeRozan and Kyle Lowry, those teams were solid teams and, you know, pretty well put together. They just ran into LeBron James, and you're just not going to beat LeBron James at all. That's why they call him LeBronto for a while every time he played them.
It was great.
The last couple of years, it hasn't really made a lot of sense what they've been doing, but they do have a lot of talent on the team. You're just waiting for them to make one move to try and like make all the pieces fit together. But I don't know.
Now, you guys get a lot of feedback. I'm curious if you've seen kind of the same thing we have. It feels very similar to the nature of being a Cowboys fan. I'm done. I'm out after the Luka deal. And somebody brought this up. Kevin, I saw Bassick retweeted the Mavericks Cooper Flagg announcement. I thought he swore he was done when they traded Luka. I did talk to him on the phone the night of the draft lottery twice, and he said, all right, I'm back in. I'll give the kid a chance. Do you get the sense that, like, people didn't actually leave, or do you get the sense that for that 3 months, they're like, I'm done forever, and then when we got Cooper Flagg, they're like, all right, I meant mostly forever. Let's see how this goes.
You remember the Ross and Rachel thing from Friends?
Yes.
We were on a break.
Yes.
I think a lot of Mavs fans needed that break. They just needed to take a break there. They needed to go experiment with some other teams. Maybe they were watching the Lakers a little too much during the playoffs. Maybe they were checking in on the Thunder even. You know, like Jason Gallagher, who's a big Mavs fan, is like, I'm kind of done. And then he was following the Thunder the whole way. I had so many fans tell me they're done. I've had people send me their old memorabilia because they're like, we're done. Like, do you want this stuff? Like,
oh, wow.
Do you want to have this to give it to people or something? My favorite one, though, there's a guy called the Chicken Man who wears the chicken costume to all the Mavs games. And I saw him at a Wings game recently. And I knew that he was part of the protest. He's in all the photos that you see of the fan protest in front of the
It was mostly peaceful protest, right?
All peaceful, except for the words.
The words were not.
It was not peaceful towards Tim McMahon, that's for sure. I still laugh about that. And so he's his head down. He looks at me, and I was like, "Hey, Cooper Flagg, you back?" And he just like put his head down. And he goes, "I'm back." like that's right. Well, and how could you blame them, right? You get a number one pick, a generational type player that you didn't expect. And I think some people have come to grips with it. It really, like the analogy I've been giving, and parents put hands over your children's ears. It's like when you realize Santa's not real, and like,
the hell, dude, it's summer.
I warned them.
I don't even know what you're saying.
There's
right
enough time
now
to build up the Santa. Yeah,
yeah, we got to go to break. We need to know.
There's enough time to reconvince them. That, like, what the Christmas right after that, you're like, it's still great, still Christmas.
Yeah.
The magic is just kind of gone because the veil has been torn from your eyes, and you're like, it's not going to be this special storybook ending like Dirk's was, right? It's just not going to be that same thing all the time.
I like the energy. Hate that analogy. All right, I know you're going to have to go to the press conference. Can you stick around for one more segment? All right, that might have been a bad decision. Because while he sticks around,
I'm the chicken man.
We'll talk
now
more Mavs, but also it is chicken time, as we will have the great Wada Chicken Strip Eating Contest at the same time as content with Nick Angstadt next, right here on The Fan.
We're down to 2:18 to play. Spin move. Denied by Flagg. He went up the pole.
The total package.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. So we've got Nick Angstadt in is here with us, and he might be thinking this is a waste of time now because we are going to talk more about Cooper Flagg and the Mavs, but also Eric, Jacob, and Peyton are going to be competing in the Great Wada Chicken Strip Eating Contest. Eric, how are you feeling? You got a lot of chicken strips in front of you. You also have dips. What's your over-under for people that missed it?
My over-under personally is set at 13.5. I do have 16 tendies in my box, so hopefully I'll just clear out all 16, bang the over, feel great about it, and wash it down with the prickly pear. What a fresher. This thing is out of this world good, bro.
If that happens.
Absolutely delicious.
Would you take it to the next level and try to take tenders from other people's boxes?
Yeah, if I still have capacity and these slow pokes are still holding off, then yes, I will start dipping my fingers into their chicken fingers.
Peyton, how are we feeling about this?
Feeling good. See, the thing is I've been up since about 3:55 this morning, so I'm hungry. I've had anything to eat. I don't eat until I get home. I can't eat before the show, or else, you know, stomach issues, all that stuff. I don't want to have to do that. So
okay.
I haven't eaten yet.
I thought he was about
Eric
to crank
slept
up
in this morning.
Crank up the old excuse machine. I thought is what he was going to do.
He's
actually just braggadocious.
But yeah. Eric got more sleep though, so maybe he's ready and refreshed. And
I am. I woke up and like exerted myself, broke a little sweat this morning to just.
We don't need to get into what
you already worked out this morning. Is that what you're
saying? Got a little exercise.
We don't need to get into what he did.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It was cardio.
Oh,
after cross talk, we can say whatever we want.
Sorry, Whataburger.
And then Jacob, if you win, you get to take Eric's spot.
I do. There's big stakes in line for
and
me here.
He's gonna go back and take your job for a while.
And as he mentioned yesterday, just play bad drops the entire segment. So I think I'm excited for that if that happens.
Just derail the whole segment.
Not going to lie, I might be kind of rooting for Jacob just a little bit because of that reason. All right, do we need a countdown? Is that...
Yeah. Who's watching to see if Jacob actually eats the tenders?
Carter. That's a Carter. he knows that Jacob's just bite cheap.
You know, shove him in my backpack or something?
I mean, look, there was, I will admit, my older son, Brandon, he broke some news to me years ago. We were doing a segment, and Parker, I think it was his last day, said he was going to eat 100 chicken nuggets. And right at the end of the show, he goes, "Here we go, 100. And I was like, "Holy crap, that's amazing." When we were leaving, Brandon was sitting back there, and he goes, "Yeah, he probably ate 40 or 50. And I was like, "What?" Kind of really destroyed my trust in people. All right.
All right, I'm hungry. Let's
guys,
go.
Guys, on your mark, get set. Cheers. Whataburger. All right, here we go. Oh my gosh. Eric is really treating this like a competition. He's out to a very quick
there
lead. Absolutely. All right, so what we're going to try to do is we're going to try to monitor this contest while also talking more about the Dallas Mavericks. So one thing, I know like you don't necessarily have inside medical information, but when you hear the Mavericks say, maybe Kyrie could be back by January, and that's like maybe February, maybe March is actually the more realistic thing. How big of a deal does just January to March make in terms of his return?
Yeah, it'd be huge. I mean, February is the trade deadline, and so you got to know what moves you need to make for the stretch run of the season. And so that's a big thing to look at. as far as like a flex date to say, all right, are we going to get Kyrie back? How is Kyrie going to look when he comes back? But it's like, it's the human body. I mean, ACL is not as scary as it used to be. Like there's an older NBA fan that came to me and was like, man, Kyrie's career is done. Like that's just not the case. That's not the case anymore. Guys come back all the time.
You think Achilles is way more scary. Yes?
It's scary, but it's a longer injury.
Yeah.
KD came back from Achilles. Klay Thompson came back from Achilles. Like they both have looked great and they're in their old age in the NBA right now. And so for Kyrie, I fully expect him to come back and be Kyrie again. It's just, when does that happen? And a month could mean a lot of things. That's like 16 games.
Yeah.
Right? And so that could be the difference in the West. That was the difference between, I don't know, like two and like out of the play-in.
Sure.
just that difference of games as far as wins and losses.
What if you thought about the strategy of the Celtics unloading so much salary? Obviously, because Tatum's hurt, he's not going to play next year. Or if he does, it'll probably not be a whole lot. And then obviously now, what are the Pacers doing with a devastating Halliburton injury?
Can we take a second to just realize that great Celtics team that everybody talked about for so long and that was just this amazing Celtics team, the Mavs were the only team that like had to go through that team.
Yes.
And like got their one big great shot where like Porzingis was healthy even for a couple games. And that's brutal. The Mavs keep running into these teams that are like the healthiest and like the best version of themselves. The Clippers that one year.
And it really sucks. Eric, how far in are you? How many strips have you eaten?
I think I've eaten 7.
Oh my gosh.
I think.
Peyton, okay, man, that mentally defeated Peyton.
Whatever I said before, I'm sorry, Eric. You know, I respect your game.
Peyton.
About time zone.
Yeah, go ahead. What are you at?
I'm about to be on my third.
Oh my gosh, Jacob.
But I'm pacing myself.
Wait, are we doing sauce every bite?
I'm a sauce every bite.
Every
guy.
Bite.
I'm going.
See, that's
ranch.
Different.
That's cheating. I don't know. If you
so
can
you're
do
Joey
that.
Chestnut Wait, dipping dude, it in the sauces. Water. I put sauce in front of you.
He's dipping it in water. He's dipping it in sauce, which is.
Are you saucing, Jake?
No, not.
I got two things of ranch back here, bro.
Look, man, because theoretically, that's just more food you're adding in to slow you down. But that seems to be, that's the lubricant for Eric Chiafalo.
That's 100%.
Yeah, okay. All right, so Eric Chiafalo is taking a huge lead. Let's see if he can finish this box of...
I will.
Okay, all right. So there was 16 water chicken strips in there, by the
They're way. So good.
Yes, absolutely. By the way, if you're like, I would like to eat a normal amount of food today, you can,
that's what
of
he's
course.
Doing. He's just eating like he's just eating lunch.
Yeah, I'm already down 8 already.
Okay, all right. Yeah, hey.
6 minutes left.
I believe in the tortoise and the hare theory, all right? I think that you could get it done. Now, you'd mentioned the wings in our last segment. I know people try to make it out to be maybe something bigger than it is. There's already article about in Caitlin Clark and Paige Beckers be the Magic and Larry. And like, that's a lot of pressure. But at the same point, you see how they sold out the AAC just off of the names. What's your interest level in this, especially since Caitlin Clark been struggling and kind of hurt?
Incredibly interested. I'm all in. I've had wing season tickets for the last couple of years. I love Paige Beckers. I was hoping and praying that they would get Paige Beckers at some point, and she's everything that you would hope that she is. I mean, if you're listening, you don't really know the W that well. Caitlin Clark is like the 1A talent that is the young player everybody wants to build around. Paige Beckers is like 1B. I mean, she's right there. There
I
are
think
times,
you mean Angel Reese is 1B is what I've been told.
Angel Reese.
Okay, Joy Taylor.
Angel Reese. I don't know if I need to put a... If I put a number on the Angel Reese thing, I will be attacked viciously online.
Fair. That's very fair.
But there
fair.
Are times in their high school and even like at some points in college where Paige Beckers was considered better than Caitlin Clark. And then Caitlin had her run and everything, and she's been incredible. But yeah, I mean, they there's a lot of interest behind them.
Well, and that's what I wanted to ask you about. I know you're in, and you talked about you've had season tickets, but what does it mean to the league, and maybe more specifically to people like you who are like, I've been there to see this level of public interest as opposed to folks in Arlington or, you know, smattering across the metroplex?
Oh, yeah. Well, you look at what Caitlin's brought to the WNBA, obviously, the ratings, and then like the Wings decide to go from UT Arlington, where they always play, to the AAC when Caitlin plays, because last year the Wings Fever game was packed. It was, there's no seats available anywhere. And this year they had to go to the AAC. For the Wings, they, in the College Park Center, they used to like block off the second level with like this big curtain. And now it's open and it's pretty full all the time. And so that has brought a lot of interest to the Wings for sure. And they're supposed to move over to the
I know they got
center.
Delayed. Yeah.
Doesn't seem like that's going to happen.
Oh, at all?
This year.
Oh, okay.
It'll happen. Well, I don't know. Dallas politics and whatever else.
But. Wow, politics.
You want to get into it?
That's probably, yeah, no, that's probably for the best. All right, now the flip side to this is, like, I get the name value, and that's important, but we have at least seen, especially probably in the last 4 or 5 games, some market improvement from the Wings, unless you think that is inaccurate.
No, they have. They've definitely looked better. They seem to be more cohesive, and you've seen Paige Bueckers kind of take a step forward here a little bit and figure out, all right, how do I get this team moving forward? I think some of those games she missed for the concussion or for the injury that she was out with helped her. She got to sit and watch and got to see everybody up close and got to sit courtside and figure out, all right, how does this player play? How does this player play? And I think that's really helped her. And the competition has been a little helping with the Wings. But still, going from 1-11 to where they are now, I'll take it.
Absolutely. All right, Eric, how are we? Your face is getting a little red. How are we doing over here?
I'm starting to feel it.
Uh-huh.
As soon as I take these last 2 bites down, I will have hit my over at 14.
Wow. And we've been doing this like just 6 impressed. Minutes?
That's amazing.
Peyton, what are you? My guess is maybe 5?
I'm on my 5th one right
okay.
now.
Okay.
Peyton right now. Just I wanted mean, look, free lunch today.
He is eating like he just had a free lunch.
I pray for your life expectancy, Eric. I really do. Those doctor's visits cannot be healthy.
It's going to backfire at some point.
If you throw up, though, you're disqualified. That's
I pray
rules,
for
though,
his plumber, yeah. That's who I pray for.
No, pray for the ladies' room here at the station.
Oh, my gosh. Yuck. What about Jacob? What about you? Are you making a miracle Whataburger run to make this happen?
I'm halfway through number 8 right now, so I'm gunning for 2nd.
All right.
Hey, nice work,
so
dude.
You're the person we sit next to Joey Chestnut to be like, hey, he's not going to win, but like, he'll be the closest guy.
He's the average human being. He's just a freak.
Okay, by the way, Whataburger, they've got the prickly pear raspberry water fresher. Is that what you're doing, or are you doing lemonade?
I'm actually double fisting because they're both so
good. How are you
so
double fisting drinks,
they're
too?
They're so good.
He hasn't actually picked up chicken with his hand. He's just been going face first into the box
like
each time.
That's how I'm eating.
But remember, I want to remind everyone, if you want a reasonable amount of food at Whataburger, they can facilitate that as well. You don't necessarily, but I also know this now. If you want to buy a box of 50 water strips, they can facilitate that as well.
It hasn't even been 10 minutes.
No, it's been like 7 minutes. No, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So I know it's early. It just happened. Ryan Nemhard, Miles Kelly. Did you have any like pre-draft thoughts about them if they might be available as undrafted? Do you have any thoughts about them now?
Yeah, absolutely. Ryan Nemhard is a guy that a lot of people thought would get drafted, maybe in the 40s.
Bless you.
There's proof, Whataburger. If you're wondering if they're actually eating the chicken,
that burp was so needed. That was I just caught my 2nd wind, bro.
Oh, no.
There's space
Watch
for like
out,
6
boys.
More now.
Like 2 minutes ago, bro.
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972 Go Men's T or mensteclinic.com.
And Ryan Nemhard's an incredible passer, led college in assists last year. He's 5'11". He's going to struggle with size, obviously, and that's why he didn't go. But he's Andrew Nemhard's brother from the Pacers that we talked about, and so he's got a connection there. And I think he's going to be great, especially for Summer League, to set everybody up and to be the guy that just runs the offense. And the Mavs are going to need another guard like that. And so to add that in the two-way spot, that one's really good.
And go ahead.
The Miles Kelly one is he is 6'4". Guard wing coming out of Auburn. He's got a 6'10 wingspan reportedly. It's like a 3-and-D guy, and he had some issues with his wrist at the beginning of the season with Auburn, and then as that got better, he got a little hotter and got better as it went on, and he started a ton of games for that Auburn team that was really good.
Absolutely. What are the anticipations or hopeful expectations for Brandon Williams? Because you're talking about a two-way player who then obviously really built up his stature where we're all like, hey, I'm really glad he's on the team. What can he hope for next year?
Yeah, I mean, as of right now, unless they sign somebody else, he's starting at point guard. Like, he's really lucked into this situation where he's on a full contract now, so he's part of the team, and like they expect him to come in and contribute and to be what he was at the end of last season, which was really good. And he came in and played his role really well. And I've been concerned if they're going to ask too much of him. But
okay.
I think they are going to have some expectations, and I think that's great. I'm happy for him.
Are you more impressed at Brandon Williams last season or what you've just seen from Eric Chiafalo? Did you finish that box?
15. I got one more. Okay. I'm trying to decide if I want to go for 16. I don't even know if these guys are going to make me
You want my leftovers
go
over
my
here?
Hardest
Let's
here.
Get you to 20, Eric. Come on.
Jakey?
I'm
Double
9.
Digits? 9?
We got one more to break the over right now.
You can hear him just huffing.
Yeah, man, you're very labored for sitting down. No, I get it. But like we started this, I think 9.5 minutes ago, maybe 9 minutes ago, and you ate 15 Wada chicken tenders and
drank most of two different drinks.
How much sauce you have left?
I got like probably 10% of each ranch and probably
to each ranch.
Yeah, I did two ranches. Yeah, there you go. I got two ranch, three ketchups. Two of those being spicy. That's what I love about. That's really one of my favorite experiences about the Whataburger experience is because I get to go bite for bite. Each dip has something different to offer, and so every bite can sort of be its own special moment.
Talk about the nodes with the different sauces.
Yeah, well, the different, yeah, you have the flavor profiles that really, I mean, I thought ketchup couldn't be outdone when Whataburger just had their own ketchup. And then all of a sudden they started to spice things up a bit.
Yeah.
And man, it just makes the chicken tender experience really one of one.
This is a sommelier.
Man, that's
here.
A live read right there.
Then, yeah. You double fist the Whatafreshers as well. I'm trying to decide which Whatafresher I like. I've been sipping at the same time.
Whataburger, get this man some live reads. Let's
Arnold
make it
Palmer
happen.
Action.
Gosh, all that's right. Good.
So, Nick, I'm sure everybody knows by now, but if they don't, how can they follow you and find your content to know all the things about the Mavericks?
Yeah, at Nick Van Exit on all socials, and then Locked On Mavs, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, all those great places. And then we're on KFAA every day at 4:30, too. So if you're a terrestrial TV watcher, you can...
I love it. And again, I appreciate you coming in studio. Very, very helpful. He'll be at the presser. You don't need to keep
it's
doing
an honor.
That
it was actually an honor to sit and watch Eric eat all that chicken.
Hey, it's great to be with you. Great just listening to the basketball takes as I'm eating. That was really fun.
It is amazing.
What's the word that we're going to, what's the biggest buzzword we hear from Cooper Flagg in this presser?
Blessed. Blessed is going to be a good one.
Okay. Blessed. Give me sponge.
Cooper Flagg's focus on work ethic is equal only to Eric's focus on competitive eating abilities. All right. There you go, everybody. Nick Engstad right here. And whatever that was on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets, a revolutionary way to change pitchers' wins and losses. Next, right here on The Fan.
Here it is. Swing and a foul tip. He struck him out.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan, where, man, we're going to get to Baseball Nuggets in just a second. But Eric Chiafalo is still in the room with me because he was victorious.
That's right.
Final count of 15 tenders. I believe Peyton got to 6.
It's embarrassing.
And Jacob, did you hit 10 or did you stick at 9?
I finished with 11.
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh. Tell the people the work that you did going into this, because I was not aware of this until we went to break.
So I had real love for the game. So what I did, you know, every great team, every championship winning team, you got to do some film study. So I went back and I found the fan cam of Eric Chiafalo crushing the baked potato from Hurtado Barbecue at the Texas Rangers game just to get an idea of what I was going up against. And I will say I was as amazed as I was in the moment when I watched it live. So,
and so the thing that's even more amazing, you did 15, I think, in 9 minutes, give or take.
Yeah.
And you also pulled off the gas.
I did. Once I found out my competition was lagging so far behind me, I was like, I don't need to completely dip into ruining my entire Friday afternoon.
That's why Kobayashi and Chestnut used to need each other. It's like, I need that person right next to me. Because I think you could have definitely done like 18 or 19 if you were being pushed.
Agreed.
But I'm impressed by you guys. Tremendous work. Absolutely. Right now, see if I can live up to the hype with my own tremendous work. Off to a bad start. Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement brings you Baseball Nuggets.
I feel like today it's Baseball Tenders.
Baseball Tenders. It's a great point. That is a very great point. Now, I have an insane theory to bring to you today, and I think I might kind of like it.
All right. I'm intrigued.
We're going to completely change the idea of pitcher wins. Because usually
you were hinting at this.
Yes.
Okay. You've been really brainstorming this.
So I did some research, thought about it a lot, and read an article about game score wins. Because a lot of people will tell you, pitcher win is not really a relevant statistic anymore. And I totally get that. Like, you've seen Cy Young winners with 11, 12 wins. Now, luckily, Jacob deGrom is in a position. I think he's 8-2. So his win-loss record has really been reflective of how he's pitched. But in a day where so many pitchers go maybe 5, maybe 6 innings, you leave a lot more chance with the bullpen, or you get the opener, or there's so many different things that have changed the theory. So there's an article out on ESPN by Bradford Doolittle, which sounds like a fake name.
Yeah, I'm not buying
but
it.
But
He also has a picture that looks like he's just an AI-generated human being.
Oh, no.
But he looks like if you typed in AI my neighbor, you know, and like they came up with a picture for Bradford Doolittle. And so, but we're just having fun because this article is tremendously fascinating. All right, think about this. For Paul Skeens, and this is before a start on Wednesday, there have been 2,664 pitchers in the history of baseball, or going back to 1901, because that's how we like to do it.
Modern era, Hagee.
That have made at least 30 career starts. Three of those pitchers, or one out of every 888, own a career ERA below two. Ed Walsh and Addie Joss from the dead ball era.
Two of my favorites.
Sure. And Paul Skeens, who before Wednesday's start had a sub-2 ERA and had a sub-2 ERA for his career. This season, he is 4-7. All right? And so he's not getting the wins and losses that one would think. So there's this theory.
Thanks, Bob Nutting.
Yeah. It's yes, Doolittle. All right. So despite those disparities, there's a new theory out there, or maybe it's an old theory, and I'm just now hearing about it. It's called the game score win. So what they would do is the mandate for both starters in the game is identical. Outpitch the other guy, and you know what? You win. So game score assigns wins and losses to assess the success of the starting pitcher, regardless of the outcome of the game. So, like, let's say we had Jacob DeGrom going up against Paul Skeens. They both pitch six innings. DeGrom gives up one run, eight strikeouts. Skeens, two runs, seven strikeouts. But then the Rangers bullpen implodes, gives up four runs, and the Pirates win 5-2. Paul Skeens takes the loss. Jacob DeGrom gets the win. And there are no decisions. So every single game started,
yep,
you would get a win or a loss. So I told you that Paul Skeens was 4-6 with a 1.85 ERA before his start on Wednesday.
That is just gut-wrenching.
It really is. So with the game score win theory, his record would be 11-5. Now, first of all, that's intriguing. But second of all, let's look at how much more exciting the pitcher win would now become. Because, you know, people are like, oh, nobody will ever get to 30 wins again. And you're like, yeah, definitely not. And now people are like, I don't even know if you could get to 20 wins in a season. All right. With the game win theory, Randy Johnson, 2001, 2002.
Big unit.
He would have won 30 games. Garrett Cole, he would have had 29 wins in 2019. Curt Schilling, 29 wins in 2001. Just think about the level of bizarre excitement you could bring back with that pitcher statistic if you went off of that. Also, starting pitchers are no longer penalized for their lack of a bullpen.
Right.
Or they're no longer penalized for their lack of an offense.
Yep.
They're going head-to-head with the other starting pitcher.
I do like the idea of, like, after the game, it's a somber, sad locker room because the team lost, but there is one guy in that clubhouse,
yes,
who's fired up and talking about how I got a great win today.
So think about this. If you go off of the game loss theory, that also puts 300 wins back in play. Clayton Kershaw would have 299 wins. All-time leading winning pitcher in baseball, Roger Clemens. Second, Nolan Ryan. Third, Greg Maddux. Fourth, Walter Johnson. Still feels like some of the best pitchers,
no question,
we've ever seen. But that would put 300 wins back in play. That would put 20 wins consistently back in play. And it feels like it would be a more accurate description of how your actual starting pitcher is doing. Or you could argue this is just for the agents and stat patterns and everything like that. I wanted to throw it out there to get y'all's opinion. Now that you've heard, like, a Cliff's Notes version or Sparks Notes or whatever the new thing is of the idea.
I do like it. Obviously, baseball and the traditionalists are probably going to be flooding your message boards
for sure
with frustration.
That's right.
But I do appreciate this. I do think there is something that needs to happen for these guys that you have just painted beautifully about a guy like Skeens, whose win-loss record, it's pointless to even have that,
yes,
for him. It has no indication on how awesome he has been. So you just do away with it or do what you're doing.
And now, 2001 is a great example. Randy Johnson had 21 wins. Curt Schilling had 22 in 2001. Under this theory, Randy Johnson would have been at 30 and Curt Schilling would have been at 29.
Wow. Okay, so I do like this from the 214 because I was thinking about this. Like, how does it work if the starting pitchers, like, they pitch different number of innings?
Okay, so there is a formula in place. We don't really have time right now to break it all down, but there is kind of like a point-based formula based
Doolittle's
on
thought this yes, through.
How many runs you've given up, how many hits you've given up, how many walks, how many balks, how many strikeouts, and all of that, and how many innings pitched. So, like, there is a, I don't want to make it sound like, so they better pitch the same every time. There is, like, a mathematical theory in place, but with all the counting of the chicken tenders, I felt like we've done enough math
today.
So I was just going to skip it. But, yes, there are multiple theories in place that would help you decide that at the end of the day. And, again, I'm not naive enough to think this is actually going to happen. I just think it's epically fascinating, and Paul Skeens was the perfect person to use as the springboard for it right now.
Yes.
And Lord knows the Rangers have had plenty of pitchers, even this year, that probably wish we would have gone.
Could we still, like, Gatorade bath the pitcher when he won the game but his team lost?
You know what? That's gonna be an important decision for the team to make. Because I can see how the pitcher would feel embarrassed. Like, Jacob deGrom, you just got your 25th win. How you feeling? And he's like, well, it's tough because we lost 3-2 and we missed out on the playoffs. Like, I can see how that would be hugely problematic.
I'm here for that, though.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we will talk with Dallas Mavericks beat reporter for the Dallas Morning News. It is Mike Curtis next right here on The Fan.
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972 GO Men's T or menstclinic.com.